Hello, 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 and welcome to the Velvet Studio, Ottawa's Queer Media. My name is Luke Smith, and we have a full house today. Unfortunately, they are actually just caught up on traffic on Bank Street. Of course, you know, there is no day in Ottawa where there isn't traffic, and they'll be joining us. Mike Tattersall, who you may remember from previous episodes, is actually just outside the building. We are very excited for him to be joining us any minute now. And today's topic is one that's kind of been within the JLPT community for many, many, many years. And it really speaks to gay bars and straight women. I mean, a lot of people think, oh, that's an old trope. And, you know, these conversations come up every single time. And there's a lot of same old, same old. And yet it seems like what are spaces that have been carved out for a particular community are then taken over for the giggles and the fun of it. So we'll be really tackling that topic in just a few moments. But before we do, somebody who is openly bisexual has kind of risen from the dead almost, or risen from musical oblivion. And that is Lady Gaga. And normally this station wouldn't even think twice of playing such a song. However, this has just come out, and this really speaks to rapes and assaults on campuses. Now, we are a campus-based station, so this is an important issue that we did discuss last week's show. Anyway, this is called It Happens to You. We'll be back in just a few moments.
You tell me it gets better in time. You say I pull myself together, pull it together, you'll be fine. Tell me what the hell do you know, what do you know? Tell me how the hell could you know? Hold your head up and be strong. 'Cause when you fall, you gotta get up. You gotta get up and move on. Tell me how the hell can you talk? How can you talk? 'Cause until you walk where I walk, it's just all talk. Tell it happens to you.
Yeah.
Till it happens to you, you all know how I feel.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back.
There we go.
Who in there has headsets?
I have a headset.
Okay, cool. We're a little bit delayed
because
we have many guests and we only had one pair of headsets earlier. So
tiny.
Are we live?
Yes, we are live.
Oh heavens!
You're speaking to the radio right now.
Do. Well, so I introduced the show a little bit earlier, and now, as I mentioned earlier, normally we don't play Lady Gaga because Lady Gaga is just like, it's overplayed, it's ridiculous, there's too much production, and it's just usually quite, it's too commercial for us. However, that song, Till It Happens to You, I think really struck a tone, and I think she may have come in back into the music scene with kind of a moral message that may have been lacking last time. So, yeah.
I think the fact that she struck a tone is part of why people say, ugh, because she just takes whatever's topical in the newspaper that day. And she's like, I'm going to write a song about that and become famous for it.
Oh.
I mean, I know it's kind of cynical, but I think Born This Way was written to sell albums.
Aren't you cynical? What's wrong with that, right?
Do. So, today's show is really looking at the topic of straight women in gay bars, in particular bachelorette parties in gay bars.
Oh, you have just hit my buttons.
I want to hit your buttons too, Mike, but I don't think we're going in the right way. So,
if we're specifically talking about bachelorette parties, I think this is a little bit more open and shut.
Like, okay, well, bachelorette parties, they're daring each other to go out and do something outside the box.
They're not
box.
Even behaving like human beings at that point.
No. Yeah.
No. They're like gorilla, Godzilla.
Yeah.
Brides or something,
right?
So let's, I mean, that's an obvious reason why they try to push their own envelope. Maybe they should really try going to a female gay bar and push their envelope a little more.
Yeah,
so.
But that's not freaky enough for them. They need to be doing something wild and unusual.
I think it's too freaky for them because maybe they wouldn't want to be hit on by somebody, right? So that's why they...
Well, the other issue is, can you name a lesbian bar in Ottawa?
That would be...
The Lookout.
Is the Lookout a lesbian bar?
Well, on Fridays. And
Saturdays.
Friday that caused this whole topic, actually... They could have easily gone to the Lookout, and maybe they did, but they certainly were at the gay bar.
Well, yeah, and then we discussed, well, should they be at the gay bar? And, then we had a really interesting discussion back and forth, which brings us to what we're doing here today, right?
Correct.
Right. Mm-hmm. So...
I got my dander up.
I bet you did.
And by dander, you're not referring to the,
cat saliva.
Yeah.
No, I imagine not, yeah.
No, there's no kitty there.
Okay.
So along for the discussion, I thought, why not? Holly from An Evening of Sin. Holly is with us.
Hi, Holly.
Hi.
Hi, Holly. Thanks for coming out.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Didn't I kind of just like say, hey, we're going to do a radio show now? And you went,
okay.
All right. So
apparently that's happening. So
we have a female here that's going to take the opposing side as well. So maybe we can...
I think I'll play a bit of Devil's Advocate as well. Hopefully we'll get a lively conversation. Hopefully.
Well, there's different issues of straight women in gay bars in general. Straight women in gay bars in specific, so like there's specific places, because I'm of the opinion that most places it's fine, but there are some spaces that I think should be men's spaces, but that's a different conversation. And then the issue of bachelorette parties having a gay bar theme to them, which I think
that's pretty derogatory.
Yeah,
really.
It really is.
Yeah.
Here,
let's go.
It's like kind of we're like, all stuck in the zoo and they're coming to point through the fence at us.
Yeah.
Mind you, that's how they treat us at Sexapalooza when we're doing our dungeon stuff.
Right? They're only just looking for the cheap thrill that they can write home about and go, right. Oh, look, aren't we so exciting? We've done all these wonderful things. Well, you know what? That's people's lives.
Yeah.
And there are events that we all like to dress up and agreed upon. We like to go and,
I like to dress like a slut.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And there's some events that
it's
maybe
fun.
We'd like to all be seen together. Like
exactly.
Mr. Leather Ottawa. When
you dress like a classy dame.
Thanks.
But do you want to be in each other's bedroom? And realistically, my comment, I think, was, hey, ladies, not that I'm not a feminist and all, but do they really want us in their play space? Because they're not just out there to dance. I know gay men can dance really well, better than most of us, but I said, hey, wake up, ladies.
You clearly have not seen me dancing.
That's right.
It's true. He dances like a Brit.
Oh, no.
I am the definition of white man dancing.
I know some Brits who are phenomenal dancers. And they're also gay, but that's another story.
They do exist. They're just rarer than
And you should see them in leather. Oh, my God, yes.
Okay, we're getting sidetracked.
So we are. Well, we usually get sidetracked.
But, there's three kinds of gay bar. And there's the dance bar, which is pretty much like a dance bar anywhere, but it's more gay.
Yeah.
So it's more fun because there's no drama. There's no BS.
Oh, there's drama.
There's drama. But the fights that you see are usually a couple of women who used to be girlfriends and someone else comes along and suddenly there's a fist fight. Or, you know, that's about the only violence you'll ever see at one of those gay dance bars.
Mm-hmm. Drag queens fighting in the parking lot.
Well, that's another story, too.
Wigs
it's like putting
flying.
Nine brides in a closet with one mirror. But that's another story, too.
Yeah.
The other kind of gay bar is one that's more masculine oriented. The other kind of gay bar is one that's more feminine kind of oriented. So each one has its own feel and its own expectations, exactly.
Right.
I don't know how I feel about the term masculine and feminine. There's ones that are more sexually charged, so like leather bars and bear bars and sex clubs and things like that. And then for, I think what you're trying to refer to as more feminine is more like lounge style, like cocktail bars and things like that.
No, some women like really hardcore leather, rock and roll, go go.
No, I know, but it's just the I don't think the masculine feminine distinction is really capturing what it's like when you're in the space.
No, not
true,
necessarily.
True.
But,
words are hard to actually use because these spaces can't be defined by single words. It has to be conversations.
There is an atmosphere that they have in common. And it's not, you don't really define it by what you do while you're there or what the place is like. It just, there's a feel. Like, I know what you're trying to say.
It's an energy.
There's an all-inclusive feeling or maybe...
Well, the dance club's definitely.
Know. Yeah,
sure.
Totally.
If you can have a good time and you can respect each other's space. Because, like, something I've noticed is I can't go to straight dance clubs anymore because people just don't respect each
other's
space.
That's right. They don't.
So long as you can have a good time and respect each other's space, then you're welcome. And I don't think I've ever seen a gay bar where people get turned away just for being a fill-in-the-blanks.
Right. Anybody.
Some of the patrons will do that, but not the bar itself.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
So, I mean, I ran a group and I ran a club for many years, and I had a party once a month that was, I considered, all-inclusive, and I didn't care. Leave your preferences in your preferences. Mm-hmm. Just everybody live and let live, and we'd have sometimes, like, 20 naked people downstairs enjoying each other's company, and they actually were all often gay, lesbian, and somewhere in between. And we all just respected each other, and it was kind of a bizarre place. But that was the expectation.
And the expectation takes us back to the whole reason for this discussion today. Mm-hmm. In a men's gay bar... Mm-hmm. The energy is sexually charged.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And whether you are there to pick up or not, it's there's a sexual banter that goes on. Mm-hmm. And it, with a lot of the energy, it can take on a more spiritual feeling for those participating in it.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody gets it. Not everybody does it. It can come and go. But there's a very strong spiritual aspect to gay sex.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's all about the connection or the connection to the parts.
Well, I'm very, very, very certain that if you had a women's group who were going to have their evening and they're going to have their Reiki or their energy nights and they're going to create their sexual energy and be together to feel that power as a group of women, that they sure don't want some guy standing in the corner hey, what are you doing over there? That's for sure. So there is a little double-edged sword, ladies, in some ways. But... I'm still a woman and I should be able to go anywhere I want to.
Exactly. You right? should be able to go, but that doesn't mean...
You should.
I should.
That doesn't mean you can go with the expectations that you're going to see a freak show.
No.
Or that you're going to take over a space to make it your space.
Is that the only reason they go?
Sometimes.
Well, there's a lot of them go with their male friends.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them go with their female friends, and it doesn't matter what gender preference their friends are.
Mm-hmm.
But it's there's some people fit and some people don't.
I see.
And the fit is based on respect.
Yeah.
And really there's is. A lot of people don't know there's this thing called respect. They treat it like they're going to treat a bar in the market. It's to them, it's just a place to go get hammered.
Well, I think that's actually a very large point there, that most of the bars and clubs in the straight world, that's just somewhere you go to drink, somewhere you go to dance, whereas gay bars usually, like, unless you live in New York City, you probably live in a city with five or less of them in total. And so it's the same five places, it's the same people, and it stops being just somewhere to go to drink and dance, and it starts turning into your community. It's your community
that's
center.
Right.
It's your version of a church. Yeah. It's your version of a home. You
that's
know?
Right. Yeah.
And so... You want people, if people come into your space, I mean, it's an open door policy, and you want people to come to your special cathedral and pray in the way that you pray.
That's one way of putting it, yeah.
I.e. ABBA. that's Dancing fine, queen. But you want them to follow the rules of the house.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lack of knowledge of rules of the house when
yeah.
it comes to...
Well, there's a lack of knowledge of rules of respect, yeah. regardless of what house you're walking into.
Some of it's respect, and some of it's just knowing the tradition. So when you're in most gay bars, everybody on the dance floor, they are packed tight right in the middle. And it's really weird. I've never seen anybody actually teach somebody who's newly out about this. But around the dance floor, there's always like a 2-foot border where nobody actually stands between the dance floor and the wall. So that if you want to leave, you can get out.
Isn't yes.
That, along the back.
Nice. Yes.
Isn't that nice?
And it's really common. And it's and everywhere I've been in the world, because I've been to many gay bars around.
But you don't see it in the straight bars.
You don't. Oh, Lord, do you ever not see that?
No.
But you have these little like escape corridors. But the bonus of that is everybody has to pack into a tighter space. So you end up with like 80 people in a space that would normally fit 40.
Which is a lot of fun.
Which is the point.
Yeah.
Which is the point, yeah.
So we go to a gay bar and we may or may not be going with friends, but we know we're going and we're going to be able to enjoy the same kind of energy any city, anywhere around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And when the bachelorette party shows up, that energy gets wrecked, destroyed. Guys will actually leave the bar because the energy's gone.
Yeah,
Mike, sure. Can you talk us through the example that you posted? I've been quiet because I've been looking through your Facebook to try and find it.
Oh, that's you way do, back.
You
yeah.
post so many posts.
I'm a Facebook crack addict.
I do know this much. If you're in a gay bar and you see a woman wearing a tiara, the night's about to end.
Now, if you see if you're in a gay bar and you see a man with a tiara... Then
it's just beginning.
It's just beginning.
So what happened was Friday, you go. It's not always a busy night, but I went out and it was busier than normal, and that was nice. There were lots of people that I hadn't seen in a long time. There were new faces. The energy in the bar changes with the types of people in it, mm-hmm. but this was an exciting energy, and there were people from all age groups, and it was just... It was looking like it was going to turn out to be a great evening. And so slowly, in dribs and drabs, in about a half an hour space, I'd say about 30 women showed up.
Whoa.
Some with their friends, some without. Some in groups of 3 and 4, some in groups of 2. But the main floor of the bar was pretty busy, and, you know, anybody can go there. It's a bar. But then they decided they all wanted to go upstairs and dance. And sure, great, go for it. But they all went up, and it's like they bulldozed in and bulldozed to the dance floor.
Did they go to the third floor?
No.
Okay.
For those who don't know, the third floor has a mystique that no longer really exists, but the reputation is still there.
They had lighting in, didn't they?
Well, yeah. Yeah. Oh, they had. Oh, there's lights
Look,
up in there.
Yeah.
There
that
oh.
could be the first or second floor on certain nights. So,
there used to be no lights in a lot of knee-high walls that you could easily.
I don't remember knee-high walls. Are you thinking about maybe Toronto?
Well, this is. The stables? Yeah. I went there before it shut down.
Yeah. No. So, yeah, and what happened is all these guys just get pushed out of the way, and you see them all standing there going, well, this kind of sucks. Mm-hmm. And so they go downstairs where it's busy, where it's full of guys.
Yeah.
And then before you know it, it's just women on the dance floor and mostly women in the crowd. And the rest of the guys look around and go, well, this is not for me.
Yeah.
Because we're at a bar to see and meet men, not women. So everybody goes downstairs. And then the girls look around, the women look around, and they go, where'd everybody go? And they go too, leaving the bartender with no customers, leaving the DJ playing for two people.
Mm.
Where did all the women go? Gone. Maybe it was a bachelorette party. Who knows?
To the next bar,
but thanks, ladies, for wrecking the vibe, for starters.
Look, and they have a right to go.
They do. I know that.
I'm
going
to try to be a protagonist a bit because
I'm going to be the angry white fag, okay?
How do you know what their motives were? I mean, they probably didn't go in there to ruin your night. They didn't necessarily go in there to watch a freak show. It depends on the group of people.
Well, that's like saying somebody...
It's oppression. It's oppression. I swear to God, it's oppression. I feel oppressed because of the sheer volume of estrogen in the air.
I think it has to do with impact.
It does. Like,
if
it
you
does.
Walk up to somebody and step on their toe by accident, you don't mean to step on their toe, but they still have a broken toe. And I think in this case, they may not have meant to like run the gay men out the gay bar, but the effect of it is it ran the gay men out the gay bar.
And what happens in the long run is the guys go, well, there were just so many women there, I'm not going back. Mm-hmm. And so the gay bar eventually has to close.
Oh, now, come on, Mike. Now
eventually.
Eventually,
the gay bar has to close because the gay men are no longer going because there's so many women.
Waiting to get in there. Is that typical, though?
There are so many bars across North America that are having a hard time surviving the age of Grindr and the age of Growler and the age of Scruff. Because people would rather go online and pick up than go to a bar.
Absolutely.
Although the topic of Grindr fatigue is a completely different conversation that we'll have to come back to.
But what's
soon.
Happening is the bars, we at one time had 6 gay bars in this city.
Yes.
The population's gone up. The number of gay bars has gone down.
That's right.
We now have 3 and a couple of semi-dedicated spaces, one night a week kind of thing. There's a million people in this neighborhood. People
still very marginalized, I'll tell you. For sure.
Can you imagine any other city anywhere in North America that would only have, say, 2 bars for 200,000 people?
No. And as you saw on the post, I got a little bit of bantering, but, you know, like I said, hey, why don't you educate, which is what we're doing here today, is telling women, hey, ladies, get the fuck out of our bar, right?
I just want to interject.
I can't say that.
Right? Is it?
Yeah, no swearing. No. Oh, I know that Mike actually dropped the other F-bomb a little earlier, so we want to...
Oops, I'm sorry.
I've got no control back here. I'm so sorry.
Our apologies.
You know there's a window. I can see you. I can see that you're not actually trying to control them. You're enjoying
She's a sub in between two doms, okay?
Well, what can we say?
I'm a switch in between.
Where were we again? So. Now that we're distracted completely?
How about educating the public?
Right. So we can only educate them if they're willing to listen.
Mm.
We're going to talk about some of the possible ways that we can educate folks in just a few minutes, but we're going to play a song by Brick and Mortar, this really reached the headlines in the gay community because it features a openly gay veteran kind of running to someone's aid, which you don't see in the music video industry. So you obviously can't tell because it's an audio format, but check it out online. It's a good song. This is Hollow Tune by Brick and Mortar, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Am I? secret language, love I know, just like the ocean.
And that was Brick Plus Mortar, not Brick and Mortar, and they are a indie duo from New Jersey. And I think Mike actually would particularly enjoy that music video. There was definitely some wonderful eye candy.
Nice. So there's lots around the university today, too.
That's true. When I met you earlier, you said that you spent the previous half hour window shopping.
Well, almost. I said the only thing that's the same around some of these rooms is the windows. Everything else is different. It's been a while since I've been around Carleton.
That's fair enough. So we were talking just before the break, the song, about ways to kind of educate the public on what we say the public. It's, you know, we're not against folks coming out and having a good time.
No, we're not.
Yeah. You know, and there seems to be the impression of some misogynist women-hating going on.
Oh, do you want to know why?
Go ahead.
For instance, me. I am, according to some people, I'm attractive, but I don't see it that way. I'm just a guy, and sometimes I'm wearing leather when I go out to the bar,
modest.
Because that's what I do. And I have been attacked by women who can't keep their hands off me, can't keep their teeth off my nipple, they can't keep their hands out of my pants. What the hell is with this? This is straight women in the gay bar. They treat me like meat.
Well,
and I'm somewhat good looking. Okay,
I'm just
so
jump
what?
On this side and go, well, you know, if I really thought you wanted me to cruise you, I'd cruise you. I sometimes cruise you anyways, you know that. Because I know once in a while, maybe. Once in a while,
we do banter. But you're not drunk as a skunk.
No.
The difference between behavior of acceptable kinds and unacceptable kinds in a bar tends to be alcohol.
Sloppy.
sloppy.
So is this sloppy protocol?
Yeah.
Is this only really a discussion because it's men being objectified?
No, the same thing does happen in straight bars to women.
For sure.
I run a burlesque show, and that's definitely an issue that we combat at my shows.
And it's almost always because of alcohol.
That is very true, because the people that are there are normally very respectful. As soon as people pass a certain level of intoxication, though,
it goes out the window.
Manners and logic goes out the window.
They turn into something not
flesh,
quite human.
Oh my God, must touch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Holly, you know, have you spent time with CPs and other gay spaces?
No, not a lot.
Do you feel like you would feel welcome there? Because that was the other question that came up in the conversation.
You know what, I probably wouldn't go to a bar that was more like a male oriented mm-hmm. gay bar kind of thing. I've been to the Lookout. I used to go to Icon back when that was an awesome thing.
Flashback to
I hated Icon.
What? I loved Icon.
My daughter came out at Icon. There.
I'm a leather man.
Why don't you feel comfortable going to these spaces?
Well, I can see why someone would feel comfortable going, because, you know, I don't go because I don't feel like I'm really wanted. I mean, I go to Lookout because it's fun, and mm-hmm. I'll have a dance and a sing, and, you know, I go to drag shows and burlesque shows and all that kind of stuff. But I wouldn't go to, like, a sort of, I don't know if it's even, I think, a pickup bar.
Yeah, a men's space. Like a men's space.
Because I'm not what they want. No,
if you've ever been in a men's space, a long time ago I had this place for sale. It was called G.I. Joe's in Montreal.
Oh, you were the owner?
Yeah. No, I had it for sale.
Oh, so you had it, somebody, your client.
So I walked through that space, and I looked around, and I went, you know what? Yeah.
Ottawa could use one of these.
Men are different than women are.
Totally.
And I don't need to be in here.
What would I do?
And this is, I think, okay, so we're all sort of dancing around a very simple way of framing it, which is that men also need safe spaces.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes.
So something that a lot of people forget in the queer community, even though men, especially white men, are often labeled with this thing of privilege, that, you know, men have privilege and men can do what they want and they can go where they want, da-da-da-da. In the queer community, that's definitely true. But out there in the greater world, mm-hmm. gay men have very little privilege.
That's right.
And gay men are often, more often, the targets of the banter.
Women.
Maybe not the actual physical violence, but at least the banter. Yeah. Gay men are usually the targets. And so gay men also need a space where they can go and feel safe and feel like they belong in a space when, of course, other people can go there, but it's... You need to respect the fact that that is a gay man's space.
Yeah, like way I would go back. If I was. I would go if I was invited.
I thought, like Holly had said to me. I said, "Well, what do you think of that?" And I mean, we're coming on here, understanding that we work in an industry that's highly sexual, so we understand the people's desires and hopes. And I'm certain a group of gay men are not hoping for a bunch of women to be standing around watching them.
Well, there are a lot of women who do go to the bar, and they don't go in groups. They go by themselves mm-hmm. because they're confident.
But are they leather women?
A lot of them are just women.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They are, and they have friends in the bar, and they make friends in the bar. And they're accepted, yes, and they're accepted in the bar. But that's because they approach us with respect. They approach the bar with mm-hmm. respect. Mm-hmm. They approach it as, this is somebody else's living room.
Yeah.
And can I ask you why, like, what are those typically women that, like, I would think they're leather women because the times I go into that bar.
They're strong personalities, definitely, but that doesn't mean they're leather. They're just open and accepting. Some of them are kinky, some of them aren't, but they accept that it happens around them, and they accept that they need to get out of the way if it is happening.
I'm going to say something really rude. Are they out there to... hopefully change minds? Are they in
only
that
when
mindset?
They're drunk
is that,
but know? no they're not the fag hags.
Okay, that's you know, and I couldn't say it. I'm like
I've had fag hags.
I'm sure you have.
And it's
just for the audience sake, I'm going to clarify that fag hags is a semi-derogatory term of endearment for straight women.
It's not derogatory, it's how it's used.
Yeah.
today it's derogatory.
I think that's with most language. Yeah. It's not the word. It's how it's used.
Yes.
So some of them are really dear friends, and other ones are people who latch on because they don't know where they're going in life.
Mm-hmm. Would you say most of them wouldn't have any issue with being called that? Most of them wouldn't.
Most of them wouldn't.
They'd laugh about it and go, yeah, that's
yeah.
true.
Well, it's like depends. I'm called a whore, and I go, yes, I am.
So if you're – okay, the women who just almost exclusively have gay male friends, they tend to be okay with it. But the women who are latching onto someone because they've fallen in love with a gay man and they just really want to convert that
change him?
One specific
gay man. I would say you see that fairly often, but it's not what I would consider the standard.
Yeah, it's not common. It's not as common as people think it is. Yeah. It happens. You will definitely meet one during your life, but you won't meet a lot.
Yeah. But quite often they hang out with their gay friends because often the gay friends have a fabulous life that's exciting and there's always wild things going on.
It looks fabulous.
And it looks fabulous from the outside.
It's Facebook fabulous.
And they want a piece of it.
Snippets,
everybody wants a piece of fabulous. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to hang out and they're going to come out. And sure. Until they get drunk. And then they want a piece of me. And I don't like that.
Because you're fabulous.
Because
right?
I want to give my piece to a man.
Stop being so awesome then.
I think we have to look at, you talked about where women are really into, women really want, this piece of this fabulous lifestyle. But this isn't anything new. I mean,
the
gay community have been trendsetters for a long time. Like in the 80s,
like
a lot of the biggest bands came out of the gay scene. It's not uncommon.
Or were promoted by the gay scene.
Yeah, exactly.
Depeche Mode has no gay members.
That's okay. They're still fabulous.
I see that face. I've looked it up. I've double checked.
Really?
I have scoured the internet. There are no gay members of Depeche Mode. I know. It's shocking.
You know what? They were really happening in the 70s.
They just didn't mind, and they knew gay audiences knew how to have a good time. Same thing with Jedward. Neither of them are gay, not that we know of anyway. They just know how to have a good time.
Sports.
And they like people who know how to have a good time.
They don't know what they're missing. No.
We actually covered that while the music was playing. They don't know what they're missing.
That's right.
That's really true. But my point is that there is a degree of the eroticization of the gay community going on.
Mm-hmm.
And that is nothing new. I think what we have to be careful of is the kickback, the when gay men react to all of these women swarming. No, what did you say? Not stampeding.
Well, it starts with a gaggle. They gaggle their way in, and anyway, they gaggle their way through.
I think swarm is a good term.
But then we have to be careful, really careful, because it's not that gay men have issues with women, and there's been this epic tension between gay men and lesbians. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
That's also epic. A myth. How many gay men have you met who actually hate lesbians? It's so exceptional.
Well,
it's this stereotype, but I've
there
never
are the stereotypes,
seen
and there are the people who prove the stereotypes, and there are people who prove against the stereotypes.
But they're the loud minority.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Actually, I'm thinking of
there
one or two
to be
in
some
particular.
Females that seem to be anti-male too. So I guess there's like a little bit of everything out there for sure. But one thing that's kind of interesting is that. The let's call them the straight community is choosing a gay bar. Maybe they are feeling more comfortable entering that than they ever have in the past. Is there anything kind of? I mean, is there some equality starting
okay.
here?
Okay,
that could be a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, there's something to be said for acceptance and opening your doors up and letting everybody in. And gay bars are really good for that. Usually,
mm-hmm.
maybe we need some more bars.
Let's not forget that right now is I believe it's Bi Visibility Week at the moment. And we have, of course, folks who are bisexual who may not be able to explore their bisexuality. Perhaps they're in a mm-hmm. heterosexual relationship at the time. The gay bars offer a great venue.
Yeah.
But I think the scenario you're describing doesn't capture that.
No, it doesn't.
Because even if they're bisexual women, gay men still doesn't intersect with that identity. So, I mean,
and the sexuality scale is so fluid that technically anybody could be bi, except for that few percentage on either end.
Actually, there was a study in Israel and in London that found that just over 50% of youth do not identify as exclusively heterosexual.
Which is kind of interesting.
That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly coming a long way in a short time.
But I mean, if you're talking about apparent time, which is just a specific way of studying things in psychology and social sciences, for 30 years they have found that youth have disproportionately high queer identities, and then when they do follow-up studies, they find that the same youth change their identities by 25. Usually when they look at population studies about how much of a given population is queer identified, they usually look at 30 and above, because under 25, your identity is still it can be under flex.
We were just talking about how, like, in my early 20s, I identified as a certain way, and then as I got older, I sort of found my niche and said, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm not against anything else.
It's because you get comfortable with yourself.
Now I'm comfortable with
you. You accept yourself.
Sometimes it's finding the words for how you identify. Sometimes it's just experimenting. And sometimes it actually is different. They have done studies of youth, usually between the ages of 18 and 22, where one day they completely identify as straight and they all the physiological things. So they do, like, the boner detector, and they show them the porn and all that. And they pattern as straight. And then a week later, they pattern as gay and have zero arousal.
Men have hormonal fluxes just like women do.
Yeah, so there's these changes that can happen quite dramatically back and forth that
I'm going to
settle down.
Bring it back to the wheel us back into the point.
Right.
Which really was my point was really related to having a space open to women of all sexualities, except when that's not the reason they're there. Like, gay spaces are open and accepting because they have to be. That's why we've created them.
Yeah.
We've created them so that we have a space where we're not excluded.
Well, that's why Anything Goes bars exists.
But sadly, you know what? The Everything Goes, I'm just going to interject about Everything Go clubs, because we've had them in town.
Yeah.
Hoping that we could all get together and have this wonderful time. And I have been an organizer of those, only to find that, yes, the big piece of the pie, we can get together once in a while and enjoy all of our music and fun and blah, blah, blah. But when you want to have sex and you're looking for a sexual partner, that changes who you want to run into that day, right, or that night.
Yeah.
So I found that I had to have parties that were, like, gender specific, which I'm not, but I had to understand that that was definitely
it's a draw.
There are definite
advantages to having gender specific parties, because some people really don't want to hang out where there's any women, and some women don't want to hang out where there's any guys. And then we barge right into the trans issue, and most of people I know don't have any problem with trans people of any kind, and then some people do.
Mm-hmm. For me, it's always just, do they know how to have a good time, and are they fun at parties?
I agree,
but if you want to go,
that's like 90% of what I care about when I go out to a club.
Which is
what happened at the bar.
The
and
other 10%
then
is affordability.
But would it be 90% of the time you could go to any club, though, right, Sebastian? As opposed to, like, maybe that 10% of the time where you want to have a smoky, dim lit, very sexually charged space.
Have you met me?
Yes, I have.
That's not really my kind of a joint.
See? Whereas it's more my kind of a joint.
Where is this place?
There was something on Facebook earlier today about development in the Castro District in San Francisco and a public park honoring the leather community. And I looked at the post and I went, but what's it going to do for the people who actually are the community? It's going to bring the tourists. It's going to bring the latte crowd. It's going to bring the condo developers. But it'll do nothing for that dark, dingy, smoke-filled, red light environment that is pure, unadulterated sexual energy.
And that's what you're looking
for. And that's what we have.
What's
there to maintain that once you bring in the glass condos and the married people with three kids who live next door to the room that has a sling set up in it?
So I think that raises an interesting possibility. Now, folks aren't aware that the Ottawa's village area has gentrified. We're seeing a lot of condos have
what
gone up.
What village?
Ottawa's designated village.
I'm going to come right out and say it. Our gay village is an artificial construct.
It is.
Yeah.
We've had this argument.
We've had it on air. It's been a previous episode.
And it's not a popular view, but it's real.
Yeah.
There's fewer gay people living in the downtown area than there are in Westboro.
So, like, one of the reasons why the village in Toronto was a real thing was because they had Vaseline Towers.
Yeah.
Which is
yeah.
a slang term for this one apartment building where everyone in there is either gay or they're retirees who just refuse to move. And...
don't we have one of those opposite the OPS station on Elgin?
But it's not a two-minute walk from
the from
club,
everything
from the
fun.
Club scene.
Yeah.
And so that was the thing, that you had all the gay bars, and you had almost like a huge chunk of the gay population living.
The
in
Montreal village is going through its gentrification and dying.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And it's gonna. And Ottawa's yeah, just well, starting a gay village that's already going through gentrification and dying.
Yeah. You wanted equality, though, right?
I was gonna say, is it really dying, or is it just becoming more of?
It's dispersing.
Like a variety, but, like everyone's everywhere instead of like let's put all of you like right here.
So
like,
in the 25 to 35 crowd for gay men, some of the most popular bars in town. Are the pubs on Elgin. They're not advertised as being gay bars.
No.
But if you speak to people who actually, because there's actually somebody who specializes in market research who's on Pride, who's actually trying to figure out what it is that people actually want, not what people think people want.
Yeah.
And he actually found that it was this, the 25 to 35 demographic was the hardest to grab, because they just want to go to a pub and sit there with a beer.
Yeah. Yeah,
they want good food and good service.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they want to hang out with their friends and talk.
That's right.
So is the... bachelorette parties showing up at the Leather Bar possibly a symptom of this false construct of a village and the, you know, the condos going up? And
no, it's not a construct of that. It's been going on for a long time. Yeah. And there is bars across the states that have signs posted at their doors, no bachelorette parties. Mm-hmm. It's just been less obvious in Canada.
If you're talking about a full, straight-up 24-hour leather bar, as opposed to a night that bar that has leather events, which is mostly what we have here in town. Like somewhere like the Black Eagle in Toronto, they actually just have a policy that you're not allowed in if you're not dressed appropriately. And so the bachelorette parties would show up, and they're like, if you come back in a bustier, we'll think about letting you in.
See, and if Ottawa had the population density to support a pure, or if the owner said, you know what, I'm going to take a chance and I'm not going to...
Well, yeah, sure. It takes the owner and it takes the actual people who live in the community. Yeah. There's 400 leathermen in Ottawa who will not wear leather in Ottawa. They'll wear it in Montreal, Toronto, New York, Berlin, LA, but not at home.
Well, then who do they have to...
They have Harper to blame.
There you go.
There's been studies on this, by the way, but that's a different issue. So one of the things that kind of concerns me about some of this is the grabbing and it's sexual assault.
It's sexual assault.
It's a sexual assault.
Yeah. Okay. And it happens. Mm-hmm.
And I think, and this is going to be another one of those things that might be a little bit controversial.
Isn't that the name of the game?
I know, right?
We're working on.
Do you think men have been left behind by feminism?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
So... men grabbing women in a bar, that's horrible. You should be arrested on the spot. And, well, maybe not arrested on the spot, but you should definitely file a report and the police should take it seriously. But when women sexually assault men in gay clubs...
That's not okay either.
No,
I'm sorry.
It's not okay, but what happens is you're laughed at if you're reported. You're a big, strong man. You could have stopped
it. That's right.
Well, you know, it's like a drive-by shooting. It just... they dart in and they're gone. Mm-hmm.
Well, the other thing is, if a man sexually assaults a woman in a bar and the woman slaps him and chooses not to report it, people be like, well, what did you expect? Whereas if a woman sexually assaults a man in the gay bar and you shove her...
Yeah, you cannot touch a woman.
You better slap me, and it better be on the butt. No, I mean, no,
I think
sorry.
We're talking
no,
across
so,
points here, Wanda.
But
sorry,
no, you culturally, you cannot hit a woman, regardless of the region.
That's right.
Yeah.
Regardless of how much she's in your face and rude and nasty, you cannot hit her. But if you're a guy and you're in a woman's face and you're rude and nasty, she technically has the right to hit you. Mm-hmm.
It's not the rate it should be. No.
I don't think she has the legal right, but I think it's just the way
the moral,
that the law is
enforced. The moral right.
The guy's
right,
not going to go report it because then he's going to get made fun of.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. That's
so there's a lot of shaming that happens with sexual assault against men by women. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of shaming. Mm-hmm. And you see it all over the internet, but you don't see it in the official channels.
What about scenarios where there may be straight men in the lesbian bar? Does that come up?
No.
You don't have stag nights.
Why would a straight man go to a lesbian bar?
Well, the straight men might go to the drag nights.
Yeah.
So I have seen that. I have knowledge of a couple of men that go to
From my lookout. Understanding, the guys who go to the lookout to watch the shows with their girlfriends and wives and friends, they're relaxed. They're respectful.
But strictly speaking, like I'm going to be devil's advocate about this as well. I don't think – I have never been to a lesbian bar in Canada.
So
the lookout is a lesbian.
The lookout is not a lesbian
bar. It is on Friday nights.
It's an anything goes bar
okay,
that
don't
markets
have,
to lesbians.
But we don't really have
gay men are allowed.
We don't have the population density to support.
I have never seen more than 2/3 women at the lookout.
Well, there used to be the Coral Reef.
Same thing with Cruise and Tangos in Toronto or the Beaver in the West End. It's always no. Seriously, there's a bar called the Beaver.
Yeah, there is.
Is it in the south or the west?
It's Queen Street West.
I'm gonna help myself.
It's near the Gladstone Hotel. But every single between big quotation marks lesbian bar I've been to in Canada has been an anything goes bar that markets to women.
I would say, except in Montreal. Actually, you know what? Even the bar I went to with my daughter had like 5 floors. I think it was called Parking. I think it was.
Oh, way back in the day.
Yeah,
that was a fun place. Oh, yeah.
The ground floor was fine. It was an anybody, any place goes on the ground floor. Mm. And as you went up the levels, you know, you kind of recognized my daughter brought me to the 4th floor.
And then there was.
Which was the. Lesbian cougars, and my daughter's got me dancing up there. And I'm looking around and she's like laughing at me. I'm like, what? What are all these women? She's like. Yeah, branch of the cougar floor, and I was like, I laughed my.
So, not to disparage these bars that are strictly speaking anything goes bars that market to women. If a straight man goes there and acts belligerent, the entire bar, men and women, will turn on
them. They make him in a pie.
Yeah.
And it's usually whoever is closest to
exactly.
him. It's not even just the women attack him. It's like gay men are like, what are you doing?
Yeah. You're a moron.
It's the same kind of it's the same kind of mentality at like my shows. Because it's a community, and so it's not just burlesque. It's like drag, and we've got it's trans friendly, and it's just everything. And the second someone starts to get out of line, whoever's closest is going to stand up and be like, "You out!"
Yeah.
Like that's it.
Which
is a respectful community.
The world is
fine.
Still figuring or relearning what burlesque is. That it's a performing art. It's not stripping.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No.
There's removal of clothing involved, but fundamentally, it's a performing art.
Yeah. Holly puts on the best show in Ottawa. It really is. not to do it, but an evening of sin. It's so all.
I think you're biased.
I'm not that good looking, and so you think you are not a good performer. Yeah. So there you go.
Well, unfortunately, really
second
that
last
is
Tuesday
that is all we have time for today. Yeah. I think we may have. This is a contentious debate,
it
and
really
we could
is.
Keep going. Yeah. So we're playing out with an Australian openly gay man, Sam Sparrow, did a great article in Attitude Magazine, or was featured in an article in Attitude Magazine. this is a song from 2014 called Hands Up. Bit more of a lively tune to play us out. And we'll be next week. You'll be here next week. We're very excited. And we'll have Wander back in a couple of weeks for the Wicked Wander episode.
Ooh.
I'll watch my words next time.
Yeah, we'll try and scale back on the F-bombs of all varieties.
Sorry, we're on
live.
I forgot.
Anyways, thank you so much. Thank you. I've been Luke Smith.
I'm Sebastian.
And I'm Wicked Wander.
Holly Sin.
Mark Tattersall.
I can't find my words right now to describe what is really going on. I can't mind my own right now. It's a world of insanity, but it's my home.
side of